The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you're not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. So, once upon a time, there was a dad who was trying to teach his young son the value of tithing and giving money to the church and putting stuff in the collection basket. And the boy listened attentively as his father explained to him and nodded in agreement. And then he went on to say, "Well, Dad, I still don't understand quite everything, so why is it that you have to pay taxes?" To this, the father replied, "Well, son, because the Bible says we must give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God." His son puzzled over this for a moment and then finally replied, "That's what I'm trying to tell you, Dad. Why do we have to give anything to Caesar? He died a long time ago." I know, bad joke. Anyways. So the Pharisees today are confronting Jesus again, and again they try to entrap him. It almost feels like that's all they ever do. You see, there's been a debate among the people at that time concerning the particular tax, the census tax, levied by the Romans. This tax dictated that if you were a Roman citizen, then you had to pay a tribute to Caesar, the emperor. But the Jewish people at this time despised this idea because many of them only counted God as their Lord and ruler. So why would they pay, or why should they pay, taxes to some startup that's trying to pretend that they're taking God's place? So it was a difficult spot for Christ to be in, or at least the Pharisees thought so. Because the Pharisees were convinced that, you know, that Jesus would go and say that, oh, there's no need to pay any sort of tax to Caesar because God comes first. That's what they assumed his response would be. And they wanted him to say this. They wanted some reason to really trap him and effectively get the state to put him to death. Because 6-7 years prior to this incident, there was another Jewish man who claimed that, you know, you didn't have to pay taxes to Caesar because God comes first. That guy was put to death. And so for this, they were convinced that he would either betray the state or he would betray the people. Because if he would have answered the opposite and said, "Oh no, there's you definitely can pay the temple or the census tax. There's no issue with that," then his entire messiahship would have been questioned. And so all his efforts to preach the kingdom of God would have been thwarted. And so, you know, the Pharisees being who they are, they thought that this would really trick him and he'd have to pick one side or the other, and then either get himself killed very quickly or lose any credibility before the people. And so what does he do? He defeats them with their own logic and their own coin. All the coins at that time were stamped with a particular emblem or a face to signify who that coin belonged to. And so coins for Caesar had the Caesar's face printed on it. So those coins could only be used to pay the tribute. Any taxes you had to pay to the state could only be paid with those coins. And the same with the temple tax at the time. It could only be paid with a coin that had the image or the stamp of the temple. And so Christ's reply is simple. This coin belongs to Caesar, so give it to Caesar. What belongs to God, you give to God. After hearing this, we probably now assume that we know exactly what this is getting at. And then we think that maybe, okay, so Jesus is saying, okay, we can pay taxes, it's fine, no problem. Just put God first and everything will be fine. That's the plain meaning, certainly. But there's another level here, a deeper spiritual level that speaks more broadly than just simple tribute taxes to the king. Each of those people who approached Christ, every single Pharisee and Herodian that came up to him at that time, their souls were stamped with the image of God. And so we have this coin that we give to Caesar because it has his image. But those people, those men who came forward to challenge him, they belong to God. Each one of our souls here today is stamped with that same image of God. We belong to God. So we give the coin to Caesar, sure, but we give ourselves entirely to our Father. By our birth, we are made citizens of a particular nation, but by our baptism, each one of us are made citizens of heaven. And so, altogether, what does this all mean? What is Father Andrew actually trying to get at? On the one hand, it means that Christ calls us to be good citizens. He calls us to actually pay taxes, our fair share, because taxes go specifically to the common good. They build our roads, they fix the potholes sometimes. They go to healthcare, they go to Medicare, they go to infrastructure, electricity, they go to actually a lot of tax money ends up going back to our St. Joseph Center to feed the poor in South Pasadena because we're the only ones doing it. All of this stuff, all of our taxes go to the common good. And so as good citizens, we pay taxes, even if we hate them. Trust me, I know. But it also means being involved with elections. Actually voting, both local and national. It means being involved in some degree in the local civil realm, knowing what's on the ballot, understanding the issues at play, being a good citizen. It also means being involved to the point where you send letters to your elected representatives, telling them about the potholes on Fair Oaks and Fremont that haven't been fixed for the last 20 years. All of these things come into play to really help make us a good citizen. And what's more, this isn't just some random Father Andrew rambling about some pet project of his of being a good citizen. This comes from Christ himself. Good citizenship is a requirement. We have a moral obligation to be good citizens. And so that's on the one hand. On the other hand, our souls being stamped with God's image. Since we belong to him, it also means being good Christians. But more than that, it means being a good parishioner. It means coming to Mass on Sunday to receive Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. It means coming to confession. It means being involved in the parish, taking on lector duties or Eucharistic minister duties or joining a choir or helping out at the food bank, getting to know a fictitious Mrs. Smith who's been sitting in the front row for the last 40 years, who knows everybody in the parish, and her kids went to school here and her grandkids and her great-grandkids, and you know, she's one of the pillars of the community. It means getting to know the community and being known by the community. So it's not just be a good citizen, and it's not just, you know, show up to Mass. It's being a good parishioner, a good Christian, a good Catholic. All of this takes work. The good news is that all of this is very much the work of a lifetime. It's not just like, oh, today, you know, I heard that homily. Today, I'm always going to be a good citizen and a good parishioner for the rest of my life. No problem. No. This takes work. It takes a lot of work. But slowly, gradually, bit by bit, we build that up. We build up being a good citizen. So if we've never read a newspaper in the last 10 years, read something today. Start like being aware of the issues that plague the world, and then aware of the issues that plague the local community and the local parish. And then slowly, bit by bit, we can start working towards making our things known, our issues known to the elected officials and even to our own pastors and priests. So good citizenship and good, actually it's not parishionership, I don't know what word that to use for that, but good citizenship and being a good parishioner are two sides of the same coin. And that coin is important for our lives. And so I want to leave you with a famous quote of St. Thomas More. "I die the king's good servant, but God's first."